Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast. We're still in our series of interviews with my friend Dan Bull, who's currently the Director of Alliance Youth with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Dan is leaving his national ministry role to return to local church ministry as a pastor of discipleship. And he gets to work with his dad, who's also a pastor. In today's installment, Dan and I talk about how the American church drifted from real disciple-making, and one big emphasis that we need to get it back. So now let's talk about your new role, this new adventure as you're heading to Pennsylvania, going kind of back home, really.
Yeah, back home, 45 minutes from where I grew up. I took on a role as the pastor for discipleship at a church in Lititz, Pennsylvania, which is in Lancaster County. Churches, depends on who you talk to, I guess, somewhere between 500 and 700, which means it's probably more like 300. you know what I mean in terms of the data that you get sometimes in church ministry. But it's a good medium-sized church. And I'll be overseeing, you know, children's ministry, youth ministry, adult ministry, the various staff teams in that space. So.
And you get to work with your dad, too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so this is the most unique thing. My dad's the lead pastor of that church. Never once in my life did I ever think I want to go work with my dad. It'd be cool in some senses, but you know how churches are. It's kind of weird when family members are on the same staff teams, and it can be weird anyway, at least from my perspective. But he's only got about 4 years, maybe 5 years left until retirement. And this was one of those times where we were going to make a transition from this role anyway. And then when that opened up at the same time that God was calling us to think about making a transition, this was like, okay, well, even if it's just a brief season, how fun would it be to go learn, you know, from the years of experience that my dad has in ministry? He's a great leader. I mean, he has led a bunch of staff over time. And I've always kind of caught it from the peripheral, right? And then also from being a son, which is very different. So this is more like, hey, let's go be colleagues for a while and see how this thing works. But I'm just excited to learn.
I've been able to connect with your dad on a few other things because of a common friend that we have in Pennsylvania. And your dad is a really neat guy and a great pastor. So I'm excited for you. I can think, you know, if Josiah ever decided, I don't know if he ever will, but if he ever decided to come and work with me in ministry, how I'd feel as dad. So I can kind of put myself in your dad's shoes and think about how excited he is to have you come in.
He's pretty pumped. I think he's kind of nervous too.
Is he?
We're very different people, right?
Yeah.
So every time I talk to him, I get the sense of this is going to be great. With that underlying sense of, we got to work this out.
Yeah. Well, tells me how to pray.
That's exactly right.
So one of the things I really wanted to chat with you about and has kind of to do with your new role and also with things that you've done in your current role is talking in terms of how do we help established American churches, because that's really my bailiwick where you know my emphasis is and where the emphasis of the Minister's Friend podcast is. How do we help established American churches to get back to really good disciple making? You know, I have this incredible blessing of having planted a church. We're 5 years old now. I was able to establish it as the church planter with the DNA of disciple making from the very beginning. And so, you know, I pastor a church right now that does some of this stuff really quite well. And it's because we're new. We started that way. We didn't have a bunch of people that came in with their church baggage, you know. But the vast majority of churches that are out there that really, honestly, I think want to do disciple making, they don't really know what they should be doing or how to do it. And then when you start telling them what those things are, there's this resistance factor of change. And so, you know, what do you think is the primary reason that our churches have stopped? Because there was a time when we did disciple making very well, but why do you think we've stopped, and how do we kind of get over that hurdle to get them back into real disciple making?
Yeah, I mean, let's take the 30,000 foot approach. One, disciple making is really hard work.
Yes, it is.
Let's not beat around the bush. When Jesus says, go make disciples, he's giving you a commandment that is not easy work, right? It's long term. It's over a period of years. It's two steps forward and one step back every single time, because people are sinful, and disciple making in a large part is helping them become more like Christ. And so it's just a long, hard, difficult process. Step in, I'd say circa 1970s, 80s, church growth strategies, yeah. You know, seeker movement. And all of a sudden, we've tried to make church as easy as possible, right? Hey, let's have really easy church, easy experience for the non-believer. And I'm not saying that those are bad strategies. I think that you want to figure out ways to get people into the building to even hear about the gospel. Mm-hmm. But there is a unique cognitive shift there, right? It used to be about going out and giving people the gospel, and now it's about getting people in for them to receive the gospel. And when all of your emphasis has become on getting people in, you have to figure out ways to eliminate barriers and anything that might be emotionally or spiritually challenging to get them into that space to then hear the gospel, where a seed could be planted, fruit might bloom, faith could be present, and then there might be a chance for them to take what we call next steps,
right? Yep.
In their faith towards something. So in some ways, because disciple making is really hard, and we've tried to figure out how to make outreach really easy, we've abandoned the hard work of discipleship. Now, no church will tell you they've abandoned the hard work of discipleship.
Right.
They're like, no, we're in the disciple making business. And you say, well, how do you make disciples? We got a children's ministry. We got a youth ministry. We got small groups, you know? And I say, okay, great. You got programs.
Right.
But what are the programs doing to create disciples? I mean, that's one of those things. So this comes down to my own personal philosophy of disciple making. Okay. What is discipleship? Discipleship is a component of a variety of factors, but I boil down to discipleship into one word. You ready? Mm-hmm. Faith. Mm. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:17, right? We're in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. It's a righteousness that is by faith from first
to last.
To last.
Yep.
And what's written? The righteous will live by faith. And what is discipleship? It's living out your faith. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so how do we grow faith in an individual? Because that for me is disciple making. I yes, they need knowledge, but more than knowledge, what am I going to do to help their faith grow? I mean, because faith grows, right? Faith shrinks. We have people who are faithless. We have people who are faithful. Mm-hmm. We have people who just have some saving faith. We have people with the spiritual gift of faith. And yet this idea of following Christ is always about faith from first to last, right? Mm-hmm. It's faith in his work on the cross. It's faith on his previous works throughout history. That way, when he gives you a promise for today, you know he's going to fulfill it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything about following Jesus, you follow Jesus on one platform only, which is faith that he is who he says he is, that he can do what he says he will do. And if you are obedient to believe and have faith in his promises, and you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, you're going to see all that activate. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have people grow in faith. And this is when people, like, I love talking to older saints who are full of faith, because I always hear words like, God is so good, right? God is so good. Man, the Lord loves me so much. I have experienced his love in my life, his mercy in my life, his grace in my life, his comfort in my life. You hear those phrases because it's people who've had an experience with the living Jesus today, right? I mean, it's not like this historical faith. Well, I got saved when I was 10 and I've been in the church ever since. No, every single day they're encountering the living Christ through his promises. And it's this amazing thing. So they have this great faith, right? Again, so disciple making for me is, how do we get people to live by faith from first to last?
You know, I don't want to interrupt you here, but I've got to say something. My mentor has a saying that it absolutely shocks people when he says it, because they're not ready for it. But, you know, they'll ask a question because they want to know his story, and they'll say, well, when did you come to faith? And he'll say, this morning. Because it's renewed every morning, you know. But they're looking at this guy like, really? You came this morning? But like, what they're asking and what he's saying are two different things, you know.
Right, totally. But I love that. I think that's a fantastic response. Mm-hmm. Like, when did you come to faith? I came to faith this morning because I have to pick up my cross daily. Mm-hmm. No, and I have to choose to rest in the promises of God today. I have to look to the future for the coming promises of Jesus. You know, and if you don't do that, then people don't, that they don't develop a heart for right. Jesus because they don't actually see Jesus at work. I remember, you know, when I was younger, I'd say, God, I want to see you do something miraculous. Cause if I can just see you do something miraculous, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are who you say you are. And what I really meant by that was I wanted to see somebody who's blind be able to see, right? Mm-hmm. Or I wanted to see somebody, you know, who's demonically possessed, have demons come flying out of their right. system, you know, in the name of Jesus. I wanted to see some power experience. And that is such an immature level of faith because what you're saying is I need the external. But the Israelites had all kinds of external experiences with a God. I mean, he showed up as a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire, and he cast water out of rocks and put up a giant, you know, snake in the middle of the people, and they had to look at the snake, the bronze snake, and be healed. They had all kinds of things. And yet they still walked away from God.
Right.
Right. Right. Because the external experiences don't actually grow faith. They just don't. Mm. Right.
That's actually a really good word, Dan. That's a really good word.
And they just don't grow faith, you know? And so, hey, it's really cool to see, but it doesn't necessarily grow the faith in somebody that you would want. Mm.
Faith. It's the cornerstone of everything it means to be a disciple. Helping people genuinely grow in their faith walk with Christ is the heart of disciple making. Disciple making is truly hard work. It requires patient relationships through which mature Christians invest in their own disciples for Jesus. But just what do we mean by mature Christians? Well, we're describing someone for whom there's clear evidence that they are growing in their love for God, in an appropriate and healthy love for themselves, and also a humble love for other people. They're growing in the fruit of the Spirit as described by Paul in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. They study the Word of God regularly so that they can share it with other people. They have come to understand the works of Jesus so that they can imitate Him toward others. And they are actively multiplying themselves by making other disciples for Jesus. Finding mature disciples like we are describing today is hard. But they are out there. In the 70s and 80s, the American church moved to a more attractional model, lessening the emphasis on Christians going out into their world to reach people and disciple them, and taking a more programmatic approach to get people into the church building. Unwittingly, this led many to abandon the hard work of disciple-making for easier forms of ministry. And it has also led to 80% of local congregations nationwide going into decline. Dan and I will continue talking about disciple-making in the coming episodes. Accompanying this podcast series, I would like to make a resource available to you. My latest book, Disciple-Making, Helping Local Churches Understand What Disciples Are and How to Make Them, is a practical guide to help you reboot real disciple-making in your church. It's actually a simple book, only 5 chapters by design. In it, we talk about some critical components of the disciple-making process for every local church, many that are probably known but not consistently practiced anymore. I hope it's an encouragement to you. It's available through Amazon.com, but if you follow the link to my publisher in today's show notes, you can get your copy right now for $2 off the cover price. We're so grateful that you're in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and other church leaders like you lead their congregations well. If you're being blessed by this podcast ministry, we'd ask you to tell other people about us. Your recommendation to your friends, other pastors, and other church leaders, that's the best advertising we could ever ask for. And if you would, please also take a moment to give us a review on whatever platform you use to listen to the podcast. Your good reviews and your ratings move us up the charts, and they actually enable us to connect with more people who might be blessed by our ministry. I'm so glad you were here for today's episode. I hope it was helpful to you. Thanks for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimble.com. That's podcast@johnrkimble.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!